Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome in. Spencer on Sports kicking off local programming here in KGYM. This is February 7th of 2023. Love to hear from you today at 319-366-1600. Our talk or text line open for you. Both of them wide open. Want to pick up the phone? Give us a call. Here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, KGYM Studios. You could do so by dialing that number on your telephone device. Or if you are unable to make a call or you want to use that newfangled contraption they call text messaging, you can send a text to that number as well, 319-366-1600. Lots to get to here on a Tuesday. It's Super Bowl week. We'll hear from both quarterbacks for the big game coming up on Sunday. Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs, Jalen Hurts of the Eagles are, of course, national partners at ESPN and ESPN Radio. Had a chance to sit down for a few minutes with each of the quarterbacks as Super Bowl week opened in Glendale, Arizona this week. And we'll hear from both of them coming up later on in the show. We had some defensive coordinators hired. The Minnesota Vikings naming a new defensive coordinator within the last 24 hours. We'll get to that later on in the program, too. Also, going to talk a little basketball. Kind of a light night on the college hoop scene. Not much going on in the Big Ten or Big 12. There was a pretty huge game in the Big 12 last night, a good one. If you caught it here on Westwood One on KGYM, courtesy of Westwood One, or on ESPN last night, you saw Kansas beat Texas in Lawrence. Jayhawks rebounding from the loss to Iowa State on Saturday. Finally getting into some Big Ten action tonight among the games being played. I'm watching Big Ten Today here in the studio. Rutgers and Indiana, two ranked opponents going at it tonight on the Big Ten Network. And we'll talk about that, take a look at the Big Ten slate, including some news about the Minnesota-Illinois game. It was revealed yesterday that been postponed due to some COVID-19 issues within the Minnesota program. Gophers not having the best season at all, dealing with some injuries, dealing with health and safety issues as well. So the game supposed to be played tonight against Illinois has been postponed. We'll tell you when that makeup date is going to be, a little ways away before we talk about Iowa basketball again as they take on Purdue on the men's side, Indiana on the women's side. We'll get to those matchups later on in the week. Also, some history could be made in the NBA tonight. LeBron James, as SportsCenter talked about a few moments ago, top of the hour, chasing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record for points. Most points scored in NBA history. It could fall tonight. He's 36 away. If it doesn't happen tonight, it's sure to happen coming up Thursday. LeBron and the Lakers take on the Milwaukee Bucks in L.A. We'll have both those games, whether it happens tonight, happens Thursday, courtesy of ESPN Radio tonight. Talk about that in our NBA and college hoops segment here coming up in just a few minutes. Also, something we haven't done in a while, I got a collector's corner for you today. Collector myself, some of you are as well. You shared your thoughts on cards and sports cards and collectibles in the text line from now to then, or then and now. On occasion, I guess is the better word I'm looking for. We'll have a collector's corner that has an Iowa tie, something cool that's happening to a young man from the state of Iowa, courtesy of Panini, one of the preeminent card manufacturers out there. We'll talk about that to close out the show coming up in just a bit. But we do want to get to the news. It broke in the middle of the gym class yesterday. The amended contract and incentives for performance objectives, I guess is the better way to put it. The objectives, not incentives, but the objectives for Brian Ferentz and the Iowa offensive numbers that are going to be in front of them here for 2023. We'll get to that here momentarily and get your thoughts on that. And take a look just where the improved numbers, I'm using air quotes in the studio, would place the Hawkeyes, kind of a measuring stick when you compare the goals set before them to 2022 numbers. We'll get to that in just a few minutes as well. Again, 319-366-1600. Before we get to all that, I mentioned this at the end of the show yesterday. This is an important day in the history of this radio program. It is our one-year anniversary since we launched this program. Monday afternoon, February 7th of 2022 was the first show, and boy howdy, we made it through 365 days, give or take, of this show being on your airwaves here on KGYM. So just want to start with a note of gratitude to everybody who's tuned in. I know we're kind of at a weird time, 2 in the afternoon, so some folks are at work, some folks are off work, you're driving in your cars, whatever it may be, but we appreciate you welcoming us to the airwaves here at KGYM for the last year. And if you've texted in or called in or interacted with the show in any way, even voted on the poll question at KGYMradio.com, we certainly do appreciate it. And thanks for listening. Thanks for welcoming us into the KGYM family for a year. It's part of our 4 hours of local sports talk here on KGYM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. I said yesterday I don't have anything big planned for the one-year show, one-year anniversary show, and I truly don't. In all honesty, it was in the back of my mind that it was coming up, the anniversary of the show. But I'm like, what do I do? Do I have special guests or something? And you know, we'll talk maybe for the two-year anniversary about that. But just wanted to share a note of gratitude here with you for tuning into the program each and every Monday through Friday from 2 until 3. You're checking out the podcast at KGYMradio.com. We are going to add a few new things here in year 2. No dramatic changes. We're still going to be a place to talk about what we saw the night before, lead off our local shows with the top sports stories of the day on a local, regional, or national perspective, and get you set for the rest of our local shows. That's what our goal is and always will be here on the show. So, again, thanks for making the time to join the show here at KGYM. 319-366-1600. Let's start with the news. Been talked about quite a bit. Like I said, broke during the gym class. You know, Todd on the Todd Brommelkamp show spent a bunch of time on this yesterday, obviously, and got a lot of thoughts on it. But I'd love to hear yours at 319-366-1600. News coming out from the University of Iowa yesterday that offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz getting a $50,000 pay cut and a performance objective, certain objectives he has to meet for this upcoming season. The key objectives are to average at least 25 points per game while the program wins at least 7 games. That coming in response to one of the worst seasons, if not the worst season, for offense in Iowa football history. 17.7 points per game. Look at the points per game standings. Out of the 14 teams, based on points per game, 12th, 0.3 of a point ahead of Rutgers, who averaged 17.4, and then Northwestern, who went 1-11, who averaged 13.8 points per game. So dreadfully close to the bottom in the Big Ten when it comes to points per game. And as has been talked about over and over again, 130th in the country, with New Mexico, the only team worse than yours. Obviously, and I've said this before, and you'd probably all agree with me, I think we all agree that changes needed to be made. And the Iowa football staff, and Kirk Ferentz said this a week ago, tomorrow, Wednesday, February 1st, as part of his signing day press conference, that they believe that it's personnel-based. The issues that are facing, that the team faced last year, especially on the offensive side of the ball, can be cured by upgrading the personnel, which they've done. Bringing in Cade McNamara. I will not call him Cade McNown. Cade McNamara from Michigan. Eric All. Adding in Seth Anderson, the receiver from Charleston Southern, and patching up the offensive line, bringing in some experienced players there. They believe that's the best route, and I don't think they're done in the portal. There's another window opening here soon after spring practice. They have the guys that they believe can turn things around. And Iowa football, Kirk Ferentz specifically made that very clear at the press conference a week ago. And that's what they're going to stick with. This contract amendments with these objectives, if it's you know, accountability, quote unquote, I think it's a, in my personal opinion, a confusing way to go about accountability because the bar is so low. 25 points a game and at least 7 wins. Now, you remember what Kirk Ferentz said last week, you know, 8 wins isn't the goal. We want to be better than that. But now the program has to win at least 7 games. Something doesn't add up in the grand scheme of things here. Again, 25 points a game, at least 7 games. The salary that's part of this, the salary for Brian Ferentz dropping by $50,000 to $850,000 from $900,000. He was initially contracted to make $972,000 this year. And this is this whole thing has these performance clauses as part of it. If the objectives are met, the contract will go to a 2-year rolling agreement term, along with a bonus and a salary adjustment. If either performance marker is not met, then the employment will end June 30th of 2024. So we got a ways to go, obviously a full season to go, before we find out or whether this is going to be a fruitful endeavor or the true accountability needed, quote unquote accountability, for this Iowa football offensive staff. Again, 17.7 points per game, 123rd nationally. As we heard the Iowa football staff and Kirk Ferentz say, that's not going to get it done. And we all know that. And I truly do think, just as, you know, an independent observer, that the upgrades they made, especially at quarterback position with Cade McNamara, I think that will make a difference. I think there's still plenty of question marks, and it's very clear to see that there are. And I think there's places that can be improved in, but this is the path they've chosen. Iowa football has chosen. Kirk Ferentz has chosen this path, and that's where we're going to see where the improvement is. Now, I mentioned, just kind of putting this into perspective, again, 25 points a game, 7 wins. Those are at least 7 wins. Those are the two objectives. Can you do that against these teams? It's been, you know, we've talked about the schedule, but in case you're not aware, Iowa will not see Ohio State or Michigan next year. So that's you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's a favorable schedule. You don't know how the Big Ten West is going to look. I mean, obviously there's a new coach at Purdue, a new coach at Wisconsin, new coach at Nebraska. A lot of hype, obviously, surrounding the moves that Wisconsin has made in the portal. Obviously, you don't know how they're going to. We're sitting here February 7th, and it's not going to, you know, you. If you want to crown them the transfer portal champs, then, you know, hey, be my guest. I mean, it, like, you can't crown a team, you can't give a team a championship based on the transfer portal, but you can't also deny that they made improvements in the portal. Nebraska made improvements, and I think they got a good coach in Matt Rhule. I think they're going to get back to a baseline with Nebraska at 9-3. God forbid, Nebraska fans. Oh my gosh, 9-3. What do we do? I think that's what Nebraska needs to strive for. 8-4. I mean, anything compared to what they've been trotting out on the field. And Purdue, who knows, with Jeff Brohm out, bringing in Graham Harrell as offensive coordinator. Obviously, they're going to do what they do, and that's throw the football. Ryan Walters, a defensive-minded coach, I think he could be successful there. Brett Bielema in Illinois, I think, you know, They've shown that they're building something special over there in Champaign. So, you know, you don't know what the Big Ten West fully is going to have. That's the point I'm trying to make. But here is your schedule, and I'll leave it up to you. Yes or no question. Can Iowa get 25 points a game and win at least seven games against this schedule for 2023? Starting with Utah State out of the Mountain West, then playing at Iowa State, welcoming in the Western Michigan Broncos the week after, at Penn State, home games with Michigan State and Purdue, at Wisconsin, and then Minnesota at home before your bye week, then playing Northwestern on the road, Rutgers, Illinois, and then at Nebraska. That is your 2023 schedule for Iowa. Simple yes or no question. Can they average at least 25 points a game and get at least seven win at least seven games out of that schedule? And I think the easy answer is yes. You know, you look at the average, 25 points a game. I mean, you know, again, okay, you're not playing Ohio State, Michigan, Ohio State and Michigan. A lot of questions about how these teams are going to be. You're playing Rutgers, you're playing Northwestern, who had an awful year. Utah State and Western Michigan, I mean, that's going to bump your average up right there, isn't it? I mean, and the joke's been made, and I've seen several other people and heard other people talking about this. Like, hey, you know, you hate to be Utah State or Western Michigan knowing that those objectives are out there, because you just have to put up a 40-50 burger on those two schools, and you get your average there. But in all seriousness, I mean, it's not a difficult schedule. It has its difficulties, don't get me wrong. And as 4385 is pointing out, a tough road schedule, and that's very true. At Penn State, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, you know, quality of, and at Iowa State, like I mentioned. You know, those places certainly have their challenges. I think Penn State, out of all the road opponents, is going to be the toughest one. Playing at Madison is never a walk in the park either. But can they get to 25 points per game and at least seven games against that schedule? 319-366-1600. 93-18 asking, does the offense have to score 25? It is not just the offense, it is the team, as far as I'm of the understanding. So that includes defensive scores, special team scores, the team. Can the team average 25 plus? And I think that's where a lot of people are saying, okay, well, how, if it's not the offense that has to average at least 25 points a game, if it's the team, then how is this really true accountability for the problems that the offense has been facing? And I agree with that. It's not true accountability if it's you're just lumping in something that the Iowa defense has been doing, and that's scoring touchdowns. They scored, what, six of the team's 25 touchdowns last year? So, Phil Parker, hey, dial it up. Can we get to eight defensive touchdowns this year? You hear the offensive staff asking that in the meeting rooms at Iowa City. But can the Iowa Hawkeyes, against that schedule I just told you about, no Michigan, no Ohio State, tough road games, Iowa State, Penn State, Wisconsin, those are probably the three toughest. Can they meet those objectives? 25 points a game, average, win at least seven games, 319-366-1600. For reference, I know this has been brought up too, there were 85 teams last year in college football that averaged at least 25 points a game, and at least 71 teams in FBS won at least seven games when you include the bowl games. The cut line is Arkansas State. The Red Wolves out of, they're still in the Sun Belt, aren't they? There's been so much conference realignment that I'm starting to lose track of where teams that I've known for decades are. I'm like, well, are they still in that conference? I'm assuming, unless they've moved to Conference USA or something. Arkansas State averaged an even 25 points a game in 2022. Arkansas State last year, and just to show you that it's not always a harbinger of success, averaging 25 points a game. They won three games last year. They went 3-9. Their high watermark was against Grambling, winning 58-3. Their other two wins were over Louisiana Monroe, shout out Terry Bowden, and UMass, the Minutemen of Massachusetts, who are down toward the bottom. The teams that averaged 25 points a game, dead on, I mentioned Arkansas State, Rice had an okay season, but it's Rice, not exactly a football powerhouse. Southern Miss, 25.3 points a game. Also, New Mexico State, 25.5. Troy, averaging just a hair over 25.6 to be exact. So if the Iowa offense can be as good as the offense of Troy, the Troy Trojans, who were a decent team last year, then Brian Ferentz will likely keep his job. Close to 20, if you're talking Power 5 opponents, the two closest teams, now they're just under 25. So this is, you know, it's kind of the gray area, right? Like, does it have to be 25 on the button, or can it be like 24.8? That's a gray area. That's what they call it in the biz, a gray area. There are three Power 5 teams that, if you play the round-up game, averaged 25 points a game. We'll call it that. 24.6, 24.8, stuff like that. Vanderbilt, Auburn, and Missouri. Vanderbilt, I mean, Vandy had an okay season. Not, you know, I mean, they were 5-7 for Vandy standards. That's pretty good. Mizzou was 6-6. Auburn was 5-7. Auburn fired their coach. That the whole Brian Harsin thing is just it's a mess in of itself. So if Iowa's offense can be as good as Mizzou's offense, and their high watermark was week one against Louisiana Tech when they scored 52, or as good as Auburn's offense, and their high watermark was week one against Mercer, an FCS school, then they've met the contract standards. Vandy, for what it's worth, hit their high watermark week zero against Hawaii, putting up 63 points. Vandy finishing 5-7. Like I said, Auburn 5-7. Mizzou did get to a bowl game. They did finish with a losing record at 6-7, losing to Wake. It was the Gasparilla Bowl, losing by Wake Forest to 10. So the bar is very low. And, you know, obviously, you know, you can't comparing 2022 to 2023 is tough. Comparing middle of the road SEC teams to Big Ten, tough. But that's kind of the baseline. Arkansas State, Missouri, Rice, Southern Miss. If the offense can get to those levels, which I don't think is a very big, very high bar to clear, that's considered improvement. And I said, I think there will be improvement at the positions that they've targeted, especially with Cade McNamara at the quarterback position. I think you have nowhere to go but up from there. Tight end, I think that room was already strong with Luke Lachey, but adding Eric All in there is a huge help there. And wide receiver, you know, I think Seth Anderson's a solid pickup, but how do the rest of the guys evolve in 2023? Obviously bringing back Nico Ragaini, big there as well. But that's where we stand. I don't think it's true accountability because the bar is so low. The bar is so low to clear, and we'll see if they can do it. That's going to be the storyline of the offseason. It still is the storyline of the offseason. And, I've already seen people making the Brian Ferentz trackers on social media trying to figure out track the progress of the Iowa offense. 319-366-1600. One other piece of news for today, that aforementioned game at Northwestern will not be played at Ryan Field. You might have seen this story. The Hawkeyes taking on Northwestern. Going to be at the friendly confines at Wrigley Field. Northwestern and Iowa both announcing that game got moved. It's going to be November 4th at Wrigley Field in Chicago. It's the eighth game on the Iowa schedule. No kickoff time yet. Those will be announced at a later date. But the Hawkeyes and Northwestern will be at a Wrigley Field. Didn't they have issues last time, a couple times back, of only being able to play one way at Wrigley Field? I hope they got that figured out. But a special opportunity to see Iowa and Northwestern play at Wrigley Field. That news announced earlier today as well. 319-366-1600. Poll question actually has to do with football games and baseball stadiums. Of course, Iowa playing the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium back in 2017. So they're no stranger to doing it. Our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. How do you feel about football games in baseball stadiums? Thumbs up or thumbs down? You could vote at our website, KGYMRadio.com. 2:30, we're overdue, that is, for a break. We'll get to some NFL, some college hoops, and more on the other side. Spencer on sports for a Tuesday on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we'll have some more sunshine this afternoon and temperatures pushing toward 40 degrees. As we head into tonight, we'll have clear skies and light winds. Temperatures drop down into the mid-20s. Tomorrow, we'll start with sunshine. Temperatures will rise into the low to mid-40s. And we'll have the chance for rain as we head into Wednesday evening. There could be a transition to some slushy snow as we head into Thursday morning, leading to slick streets. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
The Freeze Fest 5K has become a must-run event for Eastern Iowans. Shake off the cabin fever and join the fun February 18th at Wanatee Park in Marion. Come for the race. Stay for the food, music, and prizes. You'll also be helping the Boys and Girls Clubs of Cedar Rapids.
Details at KGYMRadio.com. Click on Community MVP.
The bank here is now the bank here, here, and here. Fairfax State Savings Bank has a new third location in the heart of Kingston Village in Cedar Rapids. This new location, focused on commercial and private lending, demonstrates Fairfax State Savings Bank's dedication to growing alongside you in the corridor. Fairfax State Savings Bank, in Fairfax, Amana, and now by appointment for commercial and private lending in Cedar Rapids at their new Kingston office, Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the 1940s, everything had an air of romance. Women wore red lips and high heels just to go to market. Gentlemen sported handsome full-length wool coats and stylish hats. And the movies featured sweet and wonderful stories of love. Times and fashions have changed, but that sense of romance remains at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been offering gifts of love on Valentine's Day. At Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, they understand that Valentine's Day is a day to be swept away by the magic of romance. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington, in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
No big game celebration is complete without a game of squares. Circus Sports Iowa now offers Circus Squares bets. Everyone who has played squares knows the pain of pulling terrible numbers. With Circus Squares, instead of randomly pulling numbers, choose your square and choose which numbers you get. With a minimum bet of $1 and a maximum payout of $100,000, it's easier than ever. Download the Circus Sports app today to place your Circus Squares bets. For more information, visit circussports.com.
Must be 21 or older and present in Iowa to wager. If you or someone you know needs gambling treatment, call or visit 1-800-BET.
That's off. Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at 2:34, Spencer on Sports for this Tuesday, February 7th of 2023 at 319-366-1600. Back to a little Iowa football to start the show. Mentioned the game at Wrigley against Northwestern coming up here in November for the 2023 schedule. Mentioned our poll question right before the break. How do you feel about football games in baseball stadiums? Thumbs up or thumbs down? You can vote at KGYMRadio.com courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. 319-366-1600. For what it's worth, and 6686 asked on the text line, not sure if you mentioned or if you mean 6686, opponents averaged against is scoring wise for 2022 or 2023. Take a little bit of research on my part, but just to look at the opponent's offense, and we talk about the Iowa offense. You don't want to completely ignore the fact, and we can't completely ignore the fact that the defense is still going to be very good. So the defense is going to keep you in games and help you win games. That is 100% certain for the upcoming season. So you don't want to discount that fact at all. But the bar for the offense to clear, again, an average of 25 points a game and win seven games, at least seven games, is, I think, woefully low and woefully mediocre, to be quite frank. For opponents next year, Utah State, if we're talking 2023, their opponent scoring, Utah State was middle of the pack in the Mountain West at 22.2 points a game. Mountain West was led by Fresno State and Boise. Fresno averaged a little over 30 points a game. They were clearly the best team, at least offense-wise, in the Mountain West. Big 12, you'll see Iowa State. Of course, the Cyclones, well, they have their own offensive woes, making a change, letting go of Tom Manning, promoting Nathan Shielhouse to offensive coordinator. Iowa State dead last in the Big 12 at 20.2 points per game. And then you go to the MAC, just looking at the non-conference slate, Western Michigan was dead last. They were around 19 points a game in 2022. So not the greatest offenses in the world you're going to be facing for the start of the 2023 season. Obviously, different team in 2023 compared to 2022. Who knows how they're going to improve, if at all. But like I said, I think you're going to see some points scored, at least Iowa attempt to score some points against both Utah State and Western Michigan for the upcoming season. 319-366-1600. Talk more about the latest news from Iowa football coming up here in just a minute. Talk some college hoops coming up here in just a few moments as well. Combine that with the NBA. Do want to get that collector's corner in here as well. But got Super Bowl coming up here in just a few days. Of course, we have all the coverage for you. 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, the pregame festivities, the analysis, all the analysis you could ever possibly need if you didn't get enough this week on your favorite sports channel, on TV or right here on ESPN Radio, our national programming. We've got it for you. 1 o'clock from Westwood One Sports, starting up on Sunday afternoon. Kickoff set for about 5:30 or so, with the big game coming up this weekend between the Chiefs and the Eagles. And the two quarterbacks sat down with ESPN Radio, Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. Mahomes talked with ESPN's Jeff Darlington. Here's a portion of that conversation from yesterday.
You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs as the AFC champions.
What sense of pride does it give you to reach the Super Bowl with a team that looks very different, doesn't have Tyreek Hill, for instance?
I understand how much talent I had around me my first few years, and I just relied on them to continue to make plays happen. And I think this year, it wasn't that I didn't have talent around me, because I do have a lot of talent around me, but I had to take a more leadership role and grow up a little bit. I think there's only like 10 of us that have been here since we won the Super Bowl the last time. And it's not about the one player, it's not about all the coaches, it's about the culture that we've built as a group.
A day of enormous news. The story of the day, Tom Brady says goodbye. After 23 years, the 45-year-old is done playing football.
I'm retiring for good.
I know that you had mentioned last week that you talked to Tom. What advice did Tom Brady give you?
He just talks to me about not only the game, but how to kind of will guys to win and how to keep that in that drive that I have. That gives me the motivation every day to go out here and be my best, have a chance to be in this game and have a chance to win it.
How many different people do you get to talk to?
I talk to Tom and then I talk to Peyton. Those are two of the kind of the two main guys that I'm able to kind of text and have conversations with. And then I talk to guys like my dad and LaTroy Hawkins, who I've had relationships with my whole entire life.
Mahomes is hurt. He got hit hard on this play.
How does this ankle injury rank in terms of the physical challenges that you've had to overcome at such a critical time?
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I mean, it doesn't feel good. Having 2 weeks to kind of get it ready is definitely going to help. And I'll try to be close as I can to 100%.
I think a lot of people would be interested in knowing, what did it feel like when you did run for those 5 yards on that ankle?
You feel it. I mean, it's there. It was there the entire game. But I think when your adrenaline's pumping and you're playing, you're just trying to be a competitor and make some stuff happen. I've always believed that injuries, I mean, as physical as they are, a lot of it's mental, and you have to tell yourself that you can do more than your body even thinks it can, and that's what I try to do.
I want to read this headline to you. Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts to be the first black quarterbacks to face off at the Super Bowl. What does that mean to you?
It's special. And as I've been in the NFL, I've been able to really learn more and more about the black quarterback, and there's been a lot of great black quarterbacks throughout the entire NFL's lifespan, and they haven't got the same opportunities that I've been given now. And if we can have me and another great quarterback like Jalen be in this game and show that we can consistently be great year in and year out, it'll just open the door for future generations behind us.
Patrick Mahomes sitting down with ESPN's Jeff Darlington. And for the other side of the coin, if you will, here's ESPN's Matt Hasselbeck talking with Jalen Hurts.
4-3-2-1, a flock of eagles is heading to Arizona.
When I was growing up, I remember when Doug Williams was the starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl. And here we are, first time ever, two starting quarterbacks who are having to be black going head to head. How important is that to you?
It'll be a moment. It'll be a moment. You know, my grandparents, my father, my parents, they see it because they grew up in a different time than we're growing up in now, but it's a special moment. You know, it's a historical moment, and for the young kids watching at home, maybe it's a kid out there that their coach wants them to try another position because they think they can't do it. I'm glad to be someone that is uplifting people to keep going and keep fighting, because you can do it if you put your mind to it.
Family on 3, 1, 2, 3.
So I played with a guy named Seneca Wallace. One of the teams he played for was the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers been around a long time. Seneca Wallace was the first black starting quarterback ever in the history of the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
You come to a team with a very rich history of elite starting quarterbacks. Is that special to you to be a part of this team, this organization, because of that?
Yeah, I think it is. It's something that I've realized as the journey has gone on. And I've always had my memories of McNabb, Rodney Peete, and Randall Cunningham, and Michael Vick, of course. To have an opportunity to lead this place, I think it's special.
We want to come out here and dominate.
He lets it fly, and it is caught for a touchdown, A.J. Brown! You cannot throw a football better than that. I mean, it was perfect.
You and Patrick Mahomes, number one and number two, highest QBR as a pocket passer. Why do you think people sleep on you as a pocket passer?
I think beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I play the game in a very unique way. Me personally, being able to be consistent in the run game, be consistent in the passing game, and mentally know what my plan is and knowing what I want to do based off of my preparation. And I think that's the beautiful part about all of this is everybody has an opinion about something, but everybody in their opinions don't deposit at the bank.
All right, good stuff there from ESPN. ESPN's Matt Hasselbeck talking with Jalen Hurts. We heard Patrick Mahomes with Jeff Darlington just before that. One of the intriguing storylines. You heard them talk about being the two first black quarterbacks to face off in a Super Bowl. It's a storyline that been a lot talked about with that. But I think just, you know, you see Patrick Mahomes, who, you know, he's got a Super Bowl under his belt, been to one, or been to two, won one, lost one, and now going for another Super Bowl championship against Jalen Hurts and an Eagles team that really built themselves up, top seed in the NFC, playing very good football on both sides of the ball. I think it's going to be a fantastic game just based on that. 319-366-1600, a couple more questions coming in. We talked Iowa football to start the program. 6686, clarifying their question about the points per game for the opponents. The question was, are the 25 points per game the baseline, the objective in the addendum to Brian Ferentz's contract, more than what the defense allowed per game last year? Last year, Iowa was 14.4 points per game, according to total defense, the Big Ten. So 14.4 points per game given up by the defense. The goal, the objective is 25, at least 25 on average for this addendum for Brian Ferentz's contract that came out yesterday afternoon. Another question coming in from 1723, what happens if those numbers aren't met? Does Brian Ferentz lose his job? Well, that's what the language says. Now, is it a certainty that, okay, he, you know, the team goes, what, 8-4, but they average 20 points a game? Does that mean that, you know, that he indeed 100% for sure loses his job? I feel like there's some ambiguity there, but the way it's been written out, the way I understand it, there is a 2-year agreement, a 2-year rolling contract, but this addendum has put an end on his contract as of June 30th of next year, 2024. And if the performance markers are not met, his employment ends. At least that's, I'm not a contract legal expert by any means. Never will be, never have been. that's the way I understand it. So June 30th, 2024, based on what you read and what you can decipher from it, if the performance markers, those objectives, again, at least 25 points a game, at least 7 wins for the program, those aren't met, sounds like that will be the case. He will lose his job. Again, we'll see. I feel like there's some ambiguity there. 319-366-1600. Got to get to another timeout. A little hoops talk on the other side of this timeout here on the gym.
It's the perfect time for your kitchen update. Race to savings at Menards. Countertop surfaces from Custom Craft add a sophisticated style to your kitchen. Browse Menards' many unique styles of solid surfaces, laminate and quartz countertop, to give your kitchen a fresh new look. Save big money on Custom Craft countertop and get started on your kitchen project today by racing into a Menards store near you to check out our kitchen showrooms.
Save big money at Menards.
The Honda HR-V, CR-V, Pilot, Passport, and Ridgeline. They all have one thing in common. They never back off from a challenge. Available with all-wheel drive, the Honda SUV lineup has the performance you can count on and the capability to amaze. It's no wonder Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com named Honda the 2022 Best Value Brand.
So get to your Central Midwest Honda dealer. Honda gets the Midwest.
Based on 2022 Brand Image Awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for more information.
Get back in the octagon this weekend with Elite Sportsbook. Place a wager of $100 or more on any UFC 284 offering and get a quick and easy $10 free bet for fight night. Go for the KO. And don't forget, new signups can take advantage of a bet rebound up to $250. Check out our updated app with integrated funding and increased functionality and play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
There's always something special at Seagulls.
Save up to 60% off retail this Valentine's Day with a gift from Seagulls Jewelry. Seagulls has an amazing selection of designer, custom, and estate jewelry and watches. Gold is still at historic high prices. Sell or trade in your gold for even greater savings. Seagulls, 3525 First Avenue Southeast, Cedar Rapids, just south of Town and Country Shopping Center. Remember,
there's always something special at Seagulls.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative to aid delinquent taxpayers. This initiative was established for anyone facing financial hardship and unable to pay their back taxes. Qualifying and enrolling in this program will stop all collections, settle your delinquent tax problem, and even reduce what you owe by thousands of dollars. Call the hotline at People's Tax Relief to see if you qualify and get this free information. information by dialing 800-285-2521. If you have unfiled tax returns or cannot afford to pay your personal or business back taxes, you can now get the help you need. One simple phone call can resolve your tax problem and save you thousands of dollars. To see if you qualify and to get this important free information, call 800-285-2521. 800-285-2521. 800-285-2521.
250, Spencer at Sports back with you here at KGYM at 319-366-1600. I should have known mentioning the name Brian Ferentz would get a lot of texts and phone calls coming in. Isaac looking at me like, yeah, come on, man, you should know that. I should be smarter than that on the one-year anniversary of this program, but apparently I'm not. Not as smart as I think I am. I am smarter than the average bear. 250. Wrapping up the show here in just a little bit. Comments coming in about the contract. Some questions about what happens with the contract. 81-36, 91-83. Talking about and both making essentially the same comment, and I think that's indeed what it is. Both saying that the contract ends as of June 30th, 2024. However, they can renegotiate a new contract. 81-36 saying that. 91-83 saying essentially possibly could be offered a new contract. Remains to be seen what happens. Obviously, you have to see if the offense under his leadership can meet these benchmarks get to where they need to be before you even talk about the contract. And that's in June of 2024. I see Troy in Muscatine County on the line as well. I want to make sure we get to Troy on the phone line. Troy, what's up?
Well, I wanted to follow up on your conversation, and it's really good information, but I wanted to ask you, do you know the tenor of the coaching staff, how everyone's getting along right now? Because this kind of feels, and I'm, along with that, how much longer do you think Coach Ferentz is planning to coach?
Good questions, Troy. I appreciate you hanging on the phone line. I don't know the tenor of the coaching staff. I would assume they're all getting along, but I don't want to speak for them. As for Brian or for Kirk Ferentz staying around, I mean, he's chosen to stick around. You feel like it could be a logical jumping off point with this the NIL and the transfer portal and all the changes coming to the Big Ten, but he's chosen to stick around. How long that will stay, or how long that means he's going to stay is anyone's guess. He's under contract through 2029, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have contract terms and figures. I have part of Brian Ferentz's in front of me, the addendum to the contract, but that's anyone's guess. I don't want to speak for coaches when it comes to, the how well they're getting along, how well they're, they're working with each other. Obviously, they're all working toward a common goal, and that's to improve the team where they can improve. And that's under what Kirk said last week. We, 8 wins is not the goal, but again, as we saw, at least 7. As part of this addendum to the contract from yesterday. Lots of good comments. Starting to wind down the show here. It's one of those days, could use 2 full hours on the radio. I'm not Todd Brommelkamp. I'm just a guy who has a 1-hour show here on KGYM. But plenty more thoughts to come on the gym class and with Todd from 4 to 6. Real quick look at basketball from last night. A couple Big Ten games tonight. We're supposed to be 3. Indiana and Rutgers, the highlight, number 18 Hoosiers, number 24 Scarlet Knights doing battle tonight in Bloomington. Also got Maryland and Michigan State. Should be a decent game there. Minnesota and Illinois, I mentioned, postponed because of health and safety protocols within the Minnesota program. That game will now be made up on the 20th at 8 p.m., so they do have a rescheduled date for that one. I saw someone on the text line asking earlier, 4385, I think it was you, there is still an open possibility. Iowa is scheduled to play Minnesota. The men are coming up on Sunday. Still a possibility that that could get changed around. Could be another messy finish to the schedule here for the Iowa men. Of course, long way to go between now and the end of the week and into the weekend, but we'll see what happens there. Of course, Northwestern's postponement earlier this year kind of made things messy as well. I promised a collector's corner today. Didn't have enough, a ton of time to spend on this here today, but cool story. If you're familiar with the trading cards, or even if you're not, there are two main companies out there right now. Topps has all the baseball stuff, and then Panini, kind of like the sandwich Panini. They are the holders, at least for now, of the NFL and NBA trading card licenses. On the NFL packs of cards you buy, they have this contest where you can enter to enter your kid, your child, to be a guest reporter at the Super Bowl. And this year's winner of the Kid Reporter Contest with Panini America is 11-year-old Miles Waage, W-A-A-G-E. Hope I'm saying that correctly. He's a fifth grader from Waukee, Iowa, avid Chiefs fan. And he is getting to go out to Glendale and be the Super Bowl Kid Reporter for 2023. So an awesome opportunity. He's 11 years old. And he won the role, beating 9 other finalists, and there were 135,000 entries. Apparently, it's not just like enter your name and you get chosen. You have to interview as well with the contest directors. According to this article from the Des Moines Register, the people at Panini were impressed by the questions he asked, and he got the nod. So 11-year-old Miles is heading to Glendale. I'm assuming he's probably already there, but he will be getting ready to ask questions of players he looks up to, like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Should be fun. Should be fun. That is a pretty cool story to see as a Chiefs fan. Likes collecting cards. Got some cards for his birthday, it sounds like, and decided to enter the Kid Reporter contest and got it. So there's an Iowa tie. There's an Iowa tie to everything. And this year's Kid Reporter for the Super Bowl is an 11-year-old from the Des Moines area. So cool to see that. Usually, as a guy in his 30s, when you open up packs of cards, which I still do, I've talked about that before, being a collector myself, the Kid Reporter usually ends up in the trash. But if you got kids and they like cards, might want to save those next time they show up in the packs. All right, thanks for the text. Thanks for the well wishes as well as we hit the one-year mark of doing the show. We'll get a little bit further into year two of Spencer on Sports coming up tomorrow. Preview Iowa State, West Virginia men's basketball. It comes your way tomorrow night. We'll talk about that. More from Super Bowl week and anything else that comes our way. We'll cover it for you tomorrow right here on KGYM. The gym class coming up. They're talking wrestling with KJ Pilcher on the show today. Todd Brummelkamp on the way between 4 and 6. Have a great one. We'll talk to you tomorrow, too.